June the 14th, 2023, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speak, Blog Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warafuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talk, go online to www.blogtalkradio.drmirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. The Quran, Surah 92, Ayat 18, spend wealth to purify self. God has alerted us to the presence of danger in the material life of man that tends to make to take him off of the path of purity and lead him into corruption. Most sins in this world stem from material abuse. Those who give in charity of their own free will and love to do so are not materialistic. Giving of charity is a requirement for purification as ordered by God. The Quran, Surah 94, Ayat 1 to 5, with difficulty is ease. So in the above verse, Allah tells us that Satan wants us to have empathy and hatred between us, and that we should take from the remembrance of God through the drinking of intoxicants and gambling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in another place in the Quran that we are not to go near prayer in an intoxicated state until we understand what we are saying. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said in a parable, if anyone would wash in a river that came by his home five times daily, would there be left on him any impurities? And the reply to him from his followers was no. The message in the parable is that the five daily prayers cleanses us, as God says in the Quran. Surely prayer keeps away evil and indecency. Prayer is a form of purity that cleanses. So we are known that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said that the Muslim prayer are an ascension, meaning that it lifts us from the low base, vulgar, and degrading things. So the Muslim is a sense of upliftment or ascension, a sense of being raised up to God. When he performs his prayers, God wants us to remember him, he says. Establish prayer for my remembrance. God wants us to be purified. And as previously said, God does not want difficulty, hardship for us. For many, it is difficult to get up at the dawn in the morning and make the dawn Fajr prayer. But God also tells us in the Quran that it is difficult except for those who are strong in their devotion to God. Yet in another verse, God tells us that after every difficulty, there is relief, ease. Thus we see that God wants ease for us. However, we have to accept some difficulties. To make our prayers as we should, we must accept some difficulties, taking care of ourselves as regards the practical things, such as care of our hygiene, eating the proper food, maintaining the proper home environment, for Muslims, etc. So it's difficult. All of this is extra work and difficult. But this difficulty is given to us by God to make our life better. You have probably heard the old saying, a stitch in time saves nine, or an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Those old sayings are telling us that if we take care of the present things, then we won't have so much trouble in the future. God wants us to take care of the certain needs in order that we may avoid difficulties. If he has ordered us to do things that seem difficult, then we should understand by his words that he wants us to be guided aright and to be purified. Thus, we should fulfill our obligation to him through the prophets, to each other, and to our community. If we are to fulfill these obligations, we must be dutiful as Muslims and remember that just as a God wants us ease and purity and all of the things that make for a good life, Satan wants trouble for us. Furthermore, Satan's ways seem easier. We hear people saying, do whatever you want, do your own thing. Sin?
Pardon me.
Corrupt your life, have fun, and don't care about the consequences, such as the invitation of Satan. God tells us that Satan is our open enemy, that he is the obvious enemy of man. God gives us good advice in the Quran where he says, O man, certainly the promise of God is true, that not then those present life deceive you, nor let the chief deceiver deceive you about God. Verily, Satan is an enemy to you, so treat him as an enemy. He only invites his adherents that they may become companions of the blazing fire. For those who reject God is a terrible penalty, but for those who believe and work righteous deeds is forgiveness and a magnificent reward. It is he then to whom the evil of his conduct is made alluring, so that he looks upon it as good, equal to one who is rightly guided. The Muslim is not supposed to take intoxicants such as liquor, alcohol, drugs, etc. There are Muslims who are very serious about not taking those things, but they are those who are weak and want to do those things, yet claim to be Muslim. This makes a division between us, especially if these weak people desire such things in their hearts. The real Muslim, even though he is doing such things, he won't desire them in his heart, and will hate for anyone to know that he is breaking the law of God. The Quran, Surah 94, Ayat 1, Allah expanded hearts. God says he has not narrowed the man's heart. He enlarged it so there is room inside for all humanity. Belalians, Caucasians, rich, poor, educated, illiterate, etc. So the best chess means spiritual conscience, intellect. The Quran, Surah 94, Ayat 1, have we not expanded thy chest? The Quran, Surah 6, Ayat 125, chest expanded, constricted. So the breast refers to the heart, to the spiritual conscience, and the intellect. And it also refers to understanding. It means that man has a very limited or narrow understanding. This chapter that brings our attention to the nature of the human struggle, the dynamics of the human spirituality and social makeup and spiritual makeup. This chapter is telling us, brothers and sisters, that this is the nature that God has put in his human creatures, and not only in the human being, this is in every creature. You might recall when I began talking about the need for moral development in this community and the correct kind of spiritual vision in this community. So moral muscles, use it or lose it. I tried to illustrate that by saying your moral makeup is a muscle. If you don't use it, it will collapse. Now, believe me, the whole human makeup, your desire for physical improvement and material improvement in your life, your desire for spiritual improvement in your life, your desire for improved relations with your loved ones, whatever it is, believe me, the more you struggle, the more progress you realize. A whole human being and his total concept, his total entity, his spirituality, his intellect, everything has this peculiar nature given to it by God to operate like a physical muscle. The less you use it, the weaker it gets. So don't hate people who drive you to use what you have, what you've got. Hate people that tell you sit down and relax until something comes by you. Hate them. Don't hate the people that drive you to use what you have. Because in using what you have, you are going to become better equipped to do things for yourself and by yourself. The Quran, Surah 94, Ayat 1, chest, breast. So the baby is fed from the mother's two breasts. But when we are raised up as youngsters, we feed upon the two breasts of all kind of knowledge, one knowledge. We live by, but don't always understand. The other knowledge is the knowledge we understand, that we ourselves can command. So when understanding comes to you, it gives you a command over something. The Quran, Surah 95, Ayat 1, by the Sig and the Allah. Matthew 21:19, Jesus cursed fig tree. Mark 11:21, Jesus cursed fig tree. So the Jews lost the way. They got off of the wrong path. They were preaching spiritual teachings, spiritual values that they were walking on was a path of material conquest. They were on the road to manifest as any common tyrant. So God sent Jesus to stop and to take the favor away from them. And Jesus told them, said that the Son of Man came to the fig tree for fruit, and it had no fruit offered him. So he said, cursed be the fig tree. So fig tree was a symbol of Judaism. He said, cursed be the fig tree, bear fruit no more. And the book said, right away it withered up. Didn't wait. As soon as he spoke, it was all over. Right away, the fig tree withered up, meaning as soon as Jesus opened his pure mouth and his sincerity was heard, the hypocritical Jewish establishment was finished. They couldn't attract the league righteous people anymore. They could only keep what they had. That was their materialistic, so-called righteous establishment. They kept their own people, but they didn't win people from the world anymore, did they? They didn't go out preaching and more anymore in the world like they did before Jesus. Look how Jeremiah, how Ezekiel preached. Look how Moses challenged Pharaoh in the name of God. But after Jesus came, he didn't see the Jews out on the world scene standing up for God. They went into secrecy. They teach their children behind closed doors. They are not seen out in the open, inviting people to the way of God, and condemning the world for its wrong. Why? Because they know that they had gotten in the top amongst those wrongdoers that keep the world miserable. And when Jesus condemned them openly, they just couldn't come out no more. So right away, they withered away. Is that right? Fig tree curse. The Quran, Surah 95, Ayat 1 to 2, by the fig and the olive. Matthew 21:19, Jesus fig tree curse. So Jesus cursed fig tree means that he taught the fall of the Jewish people. So we see that in Jesus' day, he saw something that the others didn't see. He saw the coming, the fall of Jerusalem, like many other minor prophets in his time said, and he saw something even bigger. He saw the fall of the Jews. He didn't come to preach the fall of Jerusalem as much as he came to preach the fall of the Jewish people. He told it in a parable like the parable of the fig tree. He said, he came to the fig tree and found no fruit on it. So the fig tree was cursed to never bear fruit again. Trees is symbolic of the society of people. So if you see somebody just mistreating a tree, right away your heart goes out to that tree. Although the tree is not human, God has put the nature in us to have compassion on these things. Jesus is a strongly compassionate man in the scripture. How could that strongly compassionate man curse the tree and make it shrivel up and never bear fruit another fig? That ignorant, primitive, savage, pagan understanding of scripture. It means nothing but this. The Jews were called a fig tree, just as many people are called trees in the Bible. The fig is a fruit that has many seeds in it. God had promised them that they would multiply when he promised Abraham that he would multiply their seed. Since they had been given favor from God, to see if they could prove worthy of that blessing. The fig is a fruit that is nice to taste and it is not hard to chew. It has many seeds in it. And if you take it to produce more fig trees, look how many fig trees you can get out of the one fig. This is symbolic of the abundance of good that God had blessed them with. Fig tree curse means that the Jews would be cut off. They were rebellious people from the very time God first called them, and they never did because a submission people for God. So he took the blessing away from them. Jesus, in words, told them that he was their last chance and that after him, they would not get another. He told them that their blessing would be cut off. The fig tree being cursed means that the Jews were going to be cursed. Their blessings were going to be cut off, and they wouldn't produce any more figs upon the tree, that their numbers would not multiply in the earth anymore. Their growth was going to be stunted or cut. So the Holy Quran speaks of this. And the Jewish history tells us that prophecy came true. So the Jews, as a religious community, they haven't multiplied in the earth. Christians have multiplied in the earth. And Muslims have multiplied in the earth. But the Jews have been cut off since the coming of Jesus. They have continuously been diminishing in numbers. They used to be the largest body of scriptural people on the earth, but Christians took over that number. God dried up the spiritual or the divine knowledge amongst them and cut them off from divine revelation. He began guiding and giving it to others. Other religious bodies became God's Messiah in the earth, preaching truth to other nations. before Jesus, the Jews had that had this mission. They went about preaching God's religion to other people. So we see that in Jesus' day, he saw something that the others didn't see. He saw the coming, the fall of the Jerusalem, like many other minor prophets. In his time says, he saw something even bigger. He saw the fall of the Jews. He didn't come to preach the fall of Jerusalem as much as he came to preach the fall of the Jewish people. He told it in a parable like the parable of the fig tree. He said he came to the fig tree and found no fruit on it. The fig tree was cursed to never bear fruit again. Do you think that God writes such mad scriptures that we take literally in the church? Crucify on trees means a community people crucified. Now we have the Nation of Islam that came to us from the hand of Almighty God. It is this Nation of Islam that has gotten up respect all over the world. Our birth and our resurrection as a divine one. So when you read about the crucifixion in the old book and the new, it mentions the crucifixion on the cross as a hanging upon the tree. That's to let you know that this is not just a cross, but a tree. What does a tree stand for in the Bible? A tree stands for a community or people or a nation. What nation can you find that has had people hanging by their necks in the nation? America has become so notorious for lynching. The Quran, Surah 96, Ayah 1-5, read in the name of your Lord who created. Education, science, creation, gives man, could have not started without matter. Education problems, I think I have seen their tricks. And I think it is the arrogant scientific thinkers who get into schemes, pardon me, who get into science and forget that creation gave him a start, and he had no way to start without matter. He forgot that, and he looked at himself and seen himself as the big player. So what he did was criticize his beginning. He hated his beginning, and he began to depend. He began depending on other things. He wants to be safe, self-independent. So he hates his beginning. He looks back at his beginning in the lap of his mother. And from the lap of his mother, he is the lap of Mother Earth, nature. And he hates the beginning, so he looks back at that beginning, and he called all of us who are common people idols. So this, you are supposed to come out and defend the human from against the attempts of the wicked to distort that form or take it out of its nature. The righteous have not been on their job to defend the innocence of the human being from the magic of the wicked world. You have to be foremost in the sciences so you can anticipate his move before he makes it and tell the world, be careful. Here is what's coming, and this little woman intend to bring your image down, intend to bring your dignified nature down. So watch out for him. Here is what he is doing. Inform the world. Stay into the battle. So the Muslim dropped out of the war. They dropped out of the battle. They accepted the mentality that the Bible gave the people, that wickedness had a time and God doesn't want you to interrupt what he's doing because that is God's ordained, that the wicked to do those things. That is not the Quran. This is the Bible mentality. We don't believe that any wrong is ordained. Only rights is ordained. Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Passover is one kind of orientation into another kind. I hope we see better the great office of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He is all of the earlier prophets wrapped up into one, and then more because he received the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all time. That means his mission goes further than the mission of Ibrahim Hanif and the others, peace be upon them. Prophet Abraham was just a sign of the Passover, from one kind of orientation into another kind of orientation that enabled Passover, is one kind of orientation into another kind, and Muhammad showed mankind how. Prophet showed how to apply revelation in the world. So I hope we see better the great office of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He is all of them wrapped up into one, and then more because he received the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all times. That means his mission goes further than the mission of Ibrahim Hanif. Peace be upon him. Prophet Abraham was just a sign of the Passover, from one kind of orientation into another kind of orientation that enabled freedom of intellect. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, came now with the final phrase of it. And what is that phrase? The correct application, the correct implementation of the knowledge that wasn't given to the prophet before, that was only given to Prophet Muhammad. If you want to know how to apply the revelation, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how to implement it in the world, in the whole life of the human being, for the whole possibilities of the human life, you can't follow any prophet but Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He is the only one who makes that possible for us. No scholars, no scientists, no mujaddid in the world. Nothing that is coming will ever change that fact. Whatever comes must point back to that fact. If he has any credentials at all, point back to that fact that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is a concept for the full expression of all, and God has locked up in the human nature in the right way. There is a wrong way and a right way. Bilal, the sign of the heart, and Muhammad, the intellect. So we mentioned earlier that Bilal also typifies, or he is a sign of the Messiah, but Bilal represents the human heart factor. Prophet Muhammad represents the intellect, and many of us don't understand how Bilal can go into the garden ahead of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. It only means that your heart must be approved first. And Bilal is just a symbol of the heart of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He symbolizes the heart of the prophet, and he had his own heart. But Bilal was used as a sign of the heart of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He was sincere. He had no design on the world. He had no attachment to the worldly things. He was merely trying to survive and be as good as he could until his time was up on earth. And when the truth came, he realized that his voluntary induction into slavery was sinful. So he said, no, this is wrong. I thought it was all right to work for a man who had more power. He gave me living, allowed me to exist, and I gave him a service. But now this prophet from God says that this is slavery, and that I am only the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have given myself unto servitude that is not befitting my nature. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speech Block Talk Radio. So heart strong intellect does what is expedient. So John 16:7, it's expedient that I go away. Expediency suppresses the right tendency in the heart. So he said, I'm sorry, Master. You know I don't have anything against you personally. I've been obligating you all these years, but now one Lord, one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his master tried to change his mind by heaping misery into his life. He refused and said, I will even die. Do what you want to do. There is one Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the heart, when it is right, is strong. The intellect is not strong without the strength of the heart. The intellect will do what is expedient. Can you understand what the crucifixion or the killing of Christ is? The book says, it is expedient that I go away, meaning that the principle of expediency suppresses the right tendency in the heart. This expediency is a principle of the intellect. The heart has a different expediency, it says. It is expedient that everything else goes away in order that I may retain my righteousness. But the intellect without the soundness of the heart, it says, it is expedient that my righteousness goes away, that I may survive. Isn't that the principle the world operates on? It is that my righteousness goes away and that my flesh may live on. But the Muslim says, Allahu Akbar, come on and kill us. We are happy. We want to go fast to heaven. But in the process, remember that you may go faster to hell than we go to heaven. The Quran, Surah 96, Ayat 1 to 2, created man from clay. Do you know what Allah really means, literally? What is this? It speaks to most of all. It is something that is thick. It has attaching power. It holds. Now, we know blood is thicker than water, but water, too, has the attaching power. You wash your hands, and you hold your hand just like that upward, and water will try to stay attached to your hand. There would be a drop clinging to your hand, right? Comes too heavy, it will fall, but a small drop will hold on. So it says he made the human being from alaq, from something that sticks. They call leeches alaq because they stick on you. They are hard to come off. You have to tear them off. So he made the human being from an alaq, referring to the blood, how it clings and holds better than water. And the blood will hold and then gel. And if it is outside of the body, it will dry up. And eventually it becomes a powder, dust. And the wind can blow the blood substance or the blood product away like dust, right? But when it has its moisture, it holds into a drop. It clings together. And the right condition will make it clot. And if it clots on the inside, in the birth process, what happens? Out of it comes eventually flesh, bones, and a human being, right? And a human being, eventually. So what is this saying to us? The great, mad human being with a nature that wants to be with each other. He made a human being to stick together. You know how we say those two dudes are tight? Man, they stick together all the time. This is Allah, the human being. As social nature, it likes to socialize with other human beings. And this social nature is what we call the nature to congregate. So you and he are congregated. Why are you congregated? Because you like to be with other people, not just because you like the word of God, but you also enjoy being with other people. so man progress yet to be done. If we can understand that God has created us for great accomplishment far beyond our imagination, most likely, we are going a long ways, but don't think that's the end. We can go much further. I'm talking about progressive man. In fact, Allah says there is no end to the progress that comes to his servant that obeys him. That he has created things that you know and don't know. And you cannot exhaust the resources. That's what Allah says to us. There is no way to use up the resources. Education, learning, teaching is a priority in our religion. And it is a priority for any liberated people. God says work on educating, and education wasn't left in the hands of the elite groups of society. Education was immediately introduced into the general public by our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He said, those who come to receive knowledge from him, you are obligated now to pass it on to others. And he told them, whoever would give one line, if you know one or two lines, if you would just teach that to another, there would be great rewards for you. Education is to be free. So he brought about a vigorous movement for bringing up the knowledge, the literacy, and the knowledge of the general public in his day and time. And we cannot have all of these fine institutions working or building the master race or working on building a master society living the knowledge that God intended for all of us in the hands of academia or in the hands of a few intellectuals. No, that can't be our way. We can't do that. No, it's not for that. It's that he has revealed, it's so that it would be given openly and freely. A secret society in our religion is not only forbidden, it is criminal. Hoarding knowledge that will benefit other people if they had it. Education is a must. Revelation for oppressive environments. God created us with the nature, character, with the behavior we want, and that will remain good as long as the environment is good, suitable, conducive to that life and development. But it will require knowledge, revelation, education, if the environment becomes itself the factor for oppressing the intellect of man. So dear beloved believers, we have to appreciate knowledge, education, and try our best to translate the complicated ideas and theories into language of the common person so they can get the benefit. Oppressing masses by greed and knowledge. College entry exam rigged against masses. Do you know a capitalistic society makes capital of everything? And that's how the weak are oppressed. They are oppressed by greed. But you can't see all the way through the connection. We can always see the connection. Why is this special institution giving all of this attention to those special people here and limit this knowledge to this social group? We know that many of the entry exams were rigged in the favor of the established people against the unestablished people. And the civil rights movement brought that out. So these examinations are unfair. And then in time, they tried to do something about it, but they are still unfair. They are not fair yet. We need to go into those institutions, no need to go into those institutions and try to make them suitable. The best thing is to start your own movement and you who have knowledge, translate it so that the common person can understand it, and then it won't be us that deny people, the people. At least the blame will be off of us. We say we done our best, God, to simplify it for the common man. And if the common people don't get it because of their ability or something we have not control over, and at least we will be free. Freedom. Now we come to the idea of freedom and knowledge, darkness, and light, ignorance and knowledge, oppression and freedom. So the real freedom when we should be seeking the highest freedom is the freedom of the mind, intellect. Now, we as a people, once enslaved, we have come from slavery. We're in freedom now. We say we are no more physical in bondage. We are no more politically captives of this country or South or any part of it. Now we're free just like all other citizens. We are free, the law, the community, and everything recognizes our freedom, so we are free. But can we really benefit from freedom? Physical freedom is a condition for coming into material freedom. The baby is a captive before it's delivered into the world. It is in the prison of its mother, and then it comes out here. What the freedom it wants first, many times it comes out here hungry. The mother can't even feed it if she tries, because it is not hungering physically, but inwardly it is mentally hungering. Before it even takes the first drink of milk, it is mentally hungering. The baby will be looking with a curiosity, eyes open. And when you see those eyes, the eyes tell you that the child is curious, that the newborn baby is curious. So we think every baby is supposed to come here playful, so that the first thing we want to do is play with it. And the baby looks at us and says, what in the hell is this? God created that baby with a mental appetite before a physical appetite, before play. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio. So Prophet Revelation in the Night, the Quran Surah 97, Ayat 1, Night of Power. So we have indeed revealed this message in the Night of Power. So the night has a coming effect. The spiritual man is the same kind of man. He shuts his eyes to the light of the world, meaning to the knowledge of the worldly knowledge. He refused to accept the guidance that the world gave him. And in putting himself in the dark, he has to then depend upon the light of revelation. And Almighty God blesses him. Is there any proof that the man, the prophet, put himself in the dark? Certainly. Not the night vision. The Bible refers to it as the night vision. A vision that comes to you at night, under darkness, not in the day. The day vision is different from the night vision. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, he went up into the top of the Mount Hira, or the mountain of the light, and he went into a cave, and in that cave is a dark. And there he received spiritual guidance from Allah. Again, a symbol telling us that it is not the light of the world that lit his mind, his spirit, and soul up. It was the light of revelation. And the moon is symbolic of the light of revelation. Mountain represents religious authority. Bukhari, volume 1, page 4, 830. Prophet pointed to the moon and split it, and the mountain put it in it. So in the hadith, the saying of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is that he pointed toward the moon, and it split, meaning that he ended Revelation. His was the final revelation, no more was to come. And what was put into this place? The mountain. And what is the mountain symbolic of? Religious authority. He left a Quran. And his life here as the authority for us to rule by. It is authority for us to rule by. It is the mountain. What else does the mountain represent? It represents a mass of people all amassed together, forming one leadership. So we can not only rule by the Holy Quran and the Sunnah, we also have to rule by the istima, istihad, which means the conscience of the majority of the righteous. The Quran, Surah 97, Ayat 1, Night of Power. So when the Christians sing on Christmas Eve, Silent Night, Holy Night, they are singing about this night of power. Jesus said, this world, light is darkness. With God, their day is night. So the Muslim night is the beginning of day. So the night precedes the day. The Christian day is night. Allah blessed us with the Quran in the night to bring it into the day. The light that understands that it is descriptive of the whole process of revelation, and that God sends down the revelation to the Quran with the prophet prayers and the peace be upon him. So the prophet ascended because of what? Because of the purity of his heart, the purity of his life. And when he ascended, contact was made with Adam, Jesus, John the Baptist, with Joseph, Idris, Moses, and Aaron, and Ibrahim. Peace and blessing be on them. Contact was made, and then he came back down. So we can touch the Quran if we are ourselves pure-minded. But if we are corrupt-minded, we can't touch it. We can touch it with our hand, but we can't touch it with our hearts. We only the pure-minded can touch it with their hearts because their hearts have been reconciled. If you've never touched it with your heart, you will never make eye contact. So the prophet, like Moses, his mission is to purify them, not only to teach them, to teach them the book, the wisdom, and also purify them, because without purification, they will never be able to make contact with scripture. Wisdom, they will never get it. So this world has the Quran. The State Department of our government have a Quran. They have many copies. Presidents, they have Qurans. Sometimes we take a Quran and say, I would like to give this to you, Mr. Governor, and he says, thank you. And he has one already. He had to have one. They won't accept him in that position until he gets one. And if you ever get that position, they will give you one after they give you something else. They will first give you something to keep you from making contact, and then they will give you a Quran. So they departed ways. After clear knowledge, I speak to you and plainly. Look what the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quranic Arabic. Lam yukuna al-ladina kafiru min ahil katibi wa musrasini musfakini hatta hamul bayina. Listen to the language until there come to them clarity. Bayina is feminine in grammar, and tahamul is feminine, so it has to correspond with bayina, which is feminine. They did not reject until they came to them the clear evidence. What is the clear evidence? Rasulullah, the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when that Bayina that comes to them, Rasulullah Minnalai, the messenger prayers and the peace be upon him from God. So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in Surah Bayina, the clear evidence has identified the revealed knowledge or the clear evidence that was promised compared to or associated it with the message, the messenger, peace be upon himself, and has said it is the messenger, peace be upon himself, the evidence itself is the messenger prayers and the peace be upon him. Rasulullah yuklu ya in the beginning of the verb, then it is masculine. He recites to them, but of the Arabic word hatta, ja ta tama tahumal bayina, translated until they come to them the clear evidence, and that terminology here is feminine. What is it? Rasul, a messenger, prayers and the peace be upon him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya'alu is masculine in form, clear evidence. So the Quran Surah 98, Ayat 1, they not departed until knowledge comes. Zechariah 5, 1 and 2, flying scroll. So the Quran says that they did not stop erring, going astray, making in their interpretation or understanding of the truth of the scripture until Quran, the revelation, the verses were revealed to Prophet Muhammad and came into their midst. Now the next verse says, verse 2 says, the messenger. Now what is this messenger referring to in this verse? The clear evidence is the messenger from God. That's the clear evidence. Now, how do we know this? Because over and over again in Quran, the doubt of people is mentioned. It says, they say, never could a mortal bring this from God. Never could a mortal bring anything from God. So they don't believe that a mortal human being can bring something from God. So what is the evidence? The evidence is that this will come not by way of superstition or mysticism, but by way of a mortal. And a mortal, it is very clear that the term used for a mortal using being, a human being, pardon me, in the Quran is to let us know that whatever has happened in this relationship, it has been within the possibility of every human being. It says, say to them that I am no more than a mortal just like you, just like you. That should dispel any doubt or confusion, whatever, whatsoever, that it is talking about anything other than a common human being. So the common human being, an ordinary human being, what's the difference? The difference is they understand that the knowledge can come by intellectual study, by intellectual pursuit. Knowledge is gained. And knowledge is gained by contact with the world through the study of the physical universe, science. So you can get knowledge that way, by applying yourself, your mind, your faculties, to solve the secrets of discovering the hidden acts of nature and science, intellectual observances. So then if you get it that way, how will the next one get it? The same way, or he did it from you. You teach him, right? So knowledge be a philosopher. Okay, so the first way of getting it directly is the philosopher. They just set out and meditate on the universe, on the nature of things. And the philosopher have gradually come into the modern knowledge of the nature and the function of the universe, right? But if those philosophers have passed their findings on to their students and eventually science was established, right? Yes, science was established. So that's one way. So what is the proof that Prophet Muhammad is the proof why he had no teacher? He was without education. He was not a scientist. He was not inclined towards scientific research. His burden was that the condition of his people on the world and on his heart. Then the intuitive spirit of God came into him as a result of the Holy Spirit moving him. Then he began to put the mind to the matter of that nature. So what is it saying? That it is not by man applying his energy to discover truth that he gets truth. It is by God helping him that he gets truth. If he's not inspired by God, he does not get truth. And whatever the truth has, they have it as a result of this kind of inspiration taking place sometime. In the past, they should study after revelation because they weren't studying before revelation. So what proof do we have of this? We know that the science was established in the ancient world, but the sun of that light, the sun of that science, set upon the earth after the prophet prayers and the peace be upon him was born. The period was called the Dark Ages. Was illumined again from a common human being, a common person, Muhammad, not an intellectual, not a scientist, not a philosopher. Muhammad, the common man whose heart was burdened because of the condition and the state of the world. So that should be proof that he came first with the prophet, isn't it? Yes. They had their scientists. They had their people, but instead of bringing the world back to the sciences, they were getting the world further and further away from the sciences. So their man had gone crazy. So this is true. They were looking for a reality of self. And seeking the reality of self took them off astray, way far away from the sciences off the path of the sciences. So Beth Sharon, mortal skin feels external, soul feels internally. So the messenger of God, or the messenger of God. Now, who is a miracle? He is the proof. So he is the evidence, the human messenger. Common mortal, the word it used refers to the skin. So if you look in the Arabic dictionary, you will see that it means skin. It takes its name from the skin. The skin is what we feel with. Is that right? We feel literally, we feel internally with our soul. We feel externally with our skin. So soul represents a connection with that is beyond the human grasp. The skin represents that it is possible for the human grasp. And it's a feeling that enables us to enter. The spiritual feeling enables us to grasp the external reality that are beyond the rational mind. Then it comes into a body by way of the skin. It had come to him through the medium of his body, and his body is from nature, isn't it? So from the universe, from the world. So he connected back to the external world through a medium that had been evolving higher in its ability to communicate God's knowledge. He has evolved higher, so now he becomes the medium to express God's will. And God then brings the external into him, even though the external is bigger than him, is it in the sense of it, and in the term of knowledge, it's bigger than him, and also in terms of reality, premonitions, etc. So the messenger from God is reading or reciting, giving the prophet purified faith. So Zechariah 5, 1 and 2, flying scroll. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes, and I looked, and behold, a flying scroll. That's how Scripture gives the revelation, Scripture that prophesies the coming of God. The Word of God, they give the revelation as a flying scroll. The Bible mentions its scroll flying in the heavens. So this is the Bible. So there are answers to that, believe me. Everything that comes in Quran is tied into something before. The book explains correct and complete what was before. So don't think this Quran is out here hanging by suspenders somewhere. It's tied to something from the past. And that's how we understand it. And we are able to connect it with the past. Father Kalahu Gadeem, surely Allah speaks the truth. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means that it pleased God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Murad speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.